Let's sing.
We've waited for this day, we're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts to the truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
Come on.
Open up the heavens, we want to see. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river.
Church, it's good to have y'all here this morning. Hey, don't forget, if you need a bulletin, we got some here on the side of the piano, as well as our children's bulletin that they can do some coloring and stuff during the service. But we want to thank you all for being here this morning, and let's go to the Lord in prayer as we begin this time of worship. Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we thank you that we can gather here together. God, thank you for this time that we can worship with brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, help us to tune out the outside world and distractions, Lord, that we would be able to focus on your word. Father, thank you for this time together. And Lord, we just pray that you would be glorified in this service. Lord, thank you for sending Jesus down the cross for our sins. And we're here today because he rose again. We look forward to that hope. Lord, I pray that we would pursue you this week more than we ever have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Good morning again. Welcome again. And stand again. Let's praise the Lord by singing hymn 144. Not that one. You can sing that one if you want to. There you go. When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, hymn 144. First, second, fourth verse.
Don't forget, if you are watching us online, to like and subscribe to our Facebook page, YouTube channel. And if you are going to, if you're driving one day and you need to still want to listen to a service, well, you can call into our phone line. We'll be glad to help you out with that. Also, don't forget, you can drop your tithes off in the, what do you call them, the offering plates. Yeah, there you go. Those gold bowls out there. So you drop them off there in the offering plates and there as you leave. Also, don't forget the Texas flood disaster relief response. If you would still like to bring items for the disaster relief, we have our buckets out here in the in front of pastor's office. Whether they're hygiene products, toothpaste, travel soaps, and so, or you can make a donation through the Tennessee Baptist Convention by going to their website. We're also in need of some school supplies for our Operation Christmas Child. During the month of August, we will be collecting school supplies for OCC, and so it is really just a couple, few months away when we start packing those shoe boxes again and begin to send those back out. So please help us with those things as well. And ladies, coming up on August 23rd, I want to encourage you to sign up for this simulcast right outside pastor's office. We'd like to get a list of names so that we can know how much lunch to provide for. Invite a friend, bring a friend. We want this to be an opportunity that's a blessing to you. And so it is from 8:30 to 3:45. And so depending on how many we have signed up, if we have a small group, we may do it over the ministry center. But we want to make sure that you are aware of this and want to encourage you to be a part of that as well. So with that, let's also look at our missionary moment of the week as we pray for Faith Garland, who is in Boston, Massachusetts. And so pray that God will continue to protect Faith as she shares the good news about Jesus in some of the most dangerous places in Boston. And so if you see there in your bulletin, remember to pray for her and also for our Moldova missionaries. Continue to pray for Olivia and Paige as they are interning there. And so if you would join me in prayer as we go to the Lord now in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. And God, we thank you for the missionaries that are both here in the States and international. God, thank you for the work you've called them to do. And Lord, I just pray that for Faith, as she ministers to women in Boston and places where there's trafficking and there's a lot of drugs and a lot of things that are considered to be dangerous, Lord, I just pray you protect her, watch over her. God, I pray, Lord, that she would be a light in a dark place, proclaiming the name of Jesus to those who are held captive by their sin, by addictions. God, that you would use her in a mighty way to bring freedom to those lives that are in bondage. And Lord, not just physically, but Lord, spiritually as well. And Lord, we pray for the two interns that as they continue to transition to Moldova, Lord, that you would be with them, bless their time, and Lord, may they be just a source of encouragement for the missionaries there. Thank you, Father, for saving us and for those who have answered the call. And Father, perhaps there's some here in this room today who maybe you have pressed on their heart the call to missions, the call to serve. Lord, I pray that they would not ignore that, but Lord, really pursue that and ask, Lord, what is it you're calling me to do? Father, thank you for those who have faithfully served, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Brother Matt, you forgetting the word. You're too young for that. But it don't get better with age. Sometimes I'm like a deer in a headlight, and I know a word, but it just, you know, I got to stand there till it comes back around, and then it will come eventually. So if I didn't confuse you too much, Ben, and you've got her queued up now. So the solid rock, join us as we sing the first, second, and fourth verse of hymn 406. Trust the sweetest ring, but only lean on Very good. Children's Church will be gathering over on the piano side during this next hymn. And if you would, stand with us and stand with the choir as we sing hymn 484, Higher Ground, all four. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, through praying as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on high.
I'm thankful for Pastor. He lays out all the stuff up here so I don't forget to say something other than you forget, you know, those little offering plates down there. He didn't put that up here for me to remember. So, but yeah, it won't be the first, not the first, won't be the last time, right? So it is always a blessing to preach the Lord's word to you guys, and I pray that it's encouraging, and as we talk about pursuing Jesus and Philippians 3, one of the things when you think about pursuing, you know, a lot of times I remember growing up with my dad and sitting in the living room watching Cops and, you know, watching those police chases as a police would pursue the people running. You thought, well, why are they chasing? Why are they running? Don't they know it doesn't ever end well? But it's a different type of pursuing when we talk about pursuing the Lord. You know, when we look at our lives, we're always chasing after something, it seems. Maybe it's the next paycheck, maybe it's the next fill in the blank, but we're always seem to be chasing something, and we have to ask ourselves, is what I'm chasing really worth it? Is it something that is a requirement for my life? What is it? Is it the next status at my job? Is it a higher position, a higher pay scale? Is it something that I need in my life that I feel like is going to help me be a better person? What am I chasing after? And so when we look at Philippians 3, we're going to be looking how Paul talks about his pursuit of Christ. And so last time I preached in Philippians, we talked about how in Philippians 2, joy comes from God, not our circumstances, and that Jesus wants us to live in a joy-filled community as we do life together. And we learned from Paul that the first way we can foster this kind of joy in our lives is through the way we see our circumstances. And there's a couple of ways that we talked about that we can choose to see our circumstances. We can either see God through our circumstances, or we can see our circumstances through God. The first option result is viewing God really as really loving and kind, but when our lives go well, everything is perfect. But the moment things take a turn for the worse, we feel that God is suddenly mean, absent, uninterested. But Paul encourages the Philippians to do the opposite, to see our circumstances through God and his character, which then enables us to live in joy when we go through hardships. You see, it all depends on how we see it. When we looked at the second chapter of Paul's letter, we saw that Jesus calls us to live in a joy-filled community by following his example. He lived a life of humility, of service to others, right? He came to serve, not be served. A life of humility and putting others before himself. Jesus humbled himself, that scripture says, to the point where he died on the cross, a criminal's death. Instead of climbing up the ladder by saving ourselves, or we try to earn fleeting happiness or success, and we need to have a radically different approach to life and caring for others and putting others before ourselves. You know, I shared with you the climbing the ladder illustration versus, you know, getting on the elevator together and doing life. And, you know, I was encouraged because I received some messages from some of y'all who said, you know, hey, I'm going to start bringing some onto the elevator with me. And that's encouraging because what are you doing? Well, you're letting down strongholds. You're allowing the Lord to work in your life to say, hey, I need to get off the ladder. I need to have a different approach. I need to bring others along with me. It's easy to push others aside and say, hey, they don't belong, or, you know, I don't like what they're doing. Instead of going to them, hey, why don't I help you? Why don't we come along together and do life? I'd be curious, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but how many of us growing up young in our faith had someone to say, hey, I want to meet with you. I want to mentor you. I want to disciple you. And we had a regular one-on-one meeting with that person, and they poured into us spiritually. I'd be curious of how many of us were discipled by someone as a young student, a young child. You see, now that we've talked about what it means, as I shared before, being in community, living a life of community and joy found in Christ, as we look in chapter 3, we're going to see that pursuing Jesus leads us to a joy-filled life, and that requires us to leave something behind. We know that joy comes from God and not our circumstances, and as we saw that the last service that I preached to you guys, we started talking about, too, how we are to mirror who God is to those around us. Today, we're going to look at what Paul talks about, the race of life. And as we follow our leader, Jesus, we can then embrace that joy-filled life that God offers to us in him. If you would, stand with me, and let's read Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. It says this, in addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. To write to you again about this is no trouble for me and is a safeguard for you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the book of Philippians. We thank you for the truth that we find in it. And Lord, I pray that as we dive into your word today, Lord, help us to see what it is that you have for us to learn. God, thank you for this time together. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, if there's anyone here struggling, dealing with, do they know you as their Lord and Savior? God, I pray that you would make that evident to them today, that they would put their faith in you, they would trust you as their Lord and Savior. And God, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room, Lord, that if If whatever we're pursuing, Lord, that we would lay it aside and pursue you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I have to stand here today because I forgot the lapel. So see, I done forgot something else, Brother Mike. But that's okay. But like Paul, the things I may share with you about this passage, it may not seem new, but hopefully it is a safeguard for your life. You know, that it encourages you, it strengthens you, it helps you in your walk with Christ, but it also challenges you. You see, we know that Paul was writing to his beloved friends at the Church of Philippi. He helped start and plant the church, knowing that they would continue to face conflict as followers of Christ. They would continue to face chaos from both within the church and even outside the church. Paul taught the Philippians how to view their circumstances through God. Because when we view them through God, then we understand that God is still in control even when the circumstances seem bad. He taught them how to be in community with one another. See, in chapter 3, Paul goes into more detail, discussing more specifically how each person can pursue this joy every day. Paul started chapter 3 by telling the Philippians to rejoice. Look at that with me. In addition to my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. You know, in addition to what I've just told you, as he said in 2 Philippians, rejoice in what the Lord is doing. He said, I enjoy writing to you. I don't mind telling you the same thing that I've already told you before, because it's good for me to remember, and it's good for you to ask for it to be taught again, so that you don't forget. Easily, I think if you've been a Christian for 10, 15 years, you can lose the awe of the gospel. Well, I've heard this before, or I know this story. I'm just going to sit back and I wish the preacher was preaching and teaching something different. And we allow the familiarity to become the stumbling block of what does God's word have for me today? See, Paul is saying it's good for you to be reminded. He warned them about false teachers in verses 2 through 3 of Philippians chapter 3. In case anyone had any questions, Paul would use himself as an example. He told the Philippians that if anyone had the right to be arrogant because of his accomplishments, it was him. Remember, he was Saul before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was climbing that ladder of becoming the best that there was. He was a golden boy of the religious elite. When Saul met Jesus, though, it started to become Paul, everything changed. His name reflected this shift. He was someone new. He was different. Everything changed. The new name signified the humility of Paul's life and the unity he would encourage among believers. When he was known as Saul, as he climbed that ladder of achievement, high esteem, one of the ways that Saul climbed that ladder was by persecuting the Christians, by silencing the church. We see that even in verse 6 of Philippians 3, he says that he was great at following all the rules, so that he was a zealous persecutor of the Christians church. He chased down Christians to prosecute them for their faith, and with every Christian he caught, he climbed up one more rung on the ladder. He chased after the next one in order to add another notch to his belt to say, well, got another one. All for the sake of becoming great in the eyes of man. You see, I have this little ball here. And this little ball, if I throw it to you, you probably won't go chasing after it. But I got a dog over there. If I throw this ball, she will go crazy for it. I mean, she just goes absolutely nuts, bonkers. And that ball's bouncing, she's jumping, she can't catch it. But she'll bring it back to me. Why? She wants me to throw it again. And she will pursue it and pursue it until she's tired. And eventually she's like, all right, I'm done. It's your turn, fat guy. And so you go get it. And so think about that. In our walk with Christ, in our pursuit of Christ, are we crazy about him? Are we consistently, every day, pursuing him? it's easy to get wrapped up in the things of life and to think, you know what, Lord, I thank you for what you've given me today, but I just need a little bit more time to focus on this right now. You see, Paul was zealous to chase down Christians, but the Lord was zealous to pursue Paul. The word Paul used to describe how zealous he was for persecuting the church, he uses six times in this verse, in verses later, to talk about pressing on toward a different goal and following Jesus. See, the word is a hunting, a racing, or a chasing word that creates the idea of running swiftly to catch someone or something. When Paul was a Pharisee, he had to pursue Christians to persecute them. But when he met Jesus, his chase completely changed. No longer was he determined to go against the cause of Christ. Instead, every zeal that he had for catching Christians, he turned that to pursuing Jesus. He had pursued Jesus, and anything else didn't mean nothing to him. It became a life of more meaningful, a life of fulfillment, but yet it also became a life of hardship. More than anything, he was done climbing the ladder. He got on the elevator, and he's like, hey, I'm trying to draw all men to me so that I can point them to Jesus. You see, what if that was you? What if you were able to take all your gifts, your talents, passions, and all those things for the cause of Christ? What if you were able to be a leader in your school, your job, to your friends, your Sunday school class, or a team, in your pursuit for Christ? Philippians 3 is going to paint this picture of a race that we're in. And we press on in this race every day by pursuing Jesus and keeping our relationship with Jesus at the very center of our lives. And that's always easier said than done. Much like Paul, though, we joyfully are to accept the loss of all other things in our lives so that we can joyfully pursue Jesus. Sometimes there's things in our life that we have to lay aside in order to pursue Jesus wholeheartedly. See, the question for you is, have you and are you willing to accept the loss of the things of this world to chase after Jesus your entire life? See, growing up as a kid too, we've all played the game chase, right? Wanting someone to chase us or to play tag. And what is the one who is doing the chasing, right? They want to tag the person so they don't have to do the running anymore. But we see when we talk about running after someone, you know, the purpose of grabbing hold of them so that they are the one who is now it to do the running. I remember as a kid, I was walking around the neighborhood and around the block with a friend of mine, and didn't know this at the time, but the friend I was walking with had gotten a little bit of a disagreement with another kid on the block over, and we walked by that kid's house, and all of a sudden this other kid decides to let his two dogs out of the fence, and they just start chasing us and pursuing us, and the only thing I could hear is dogs barking and my friend laughing. I'm like, why are you laughing? And so we're running and running, and the only thing I knew to do was jump on top of somebody's car. And eventually the dude came and got the dogs, but that dog was pursuing us. What it wanted to do to us, I didn't want to find out, but I had an idea. And so it was willing to do whatever it needed to do to come after us. And it had no idea why to pursue us other than its owner said to do it. Keep that in mind, though. See, the idea that Paul uses in this passage is that he wants us to relentlessly pursue Jesus. The pursuit of Christians at one time was Paul's passion, but pursuing Christ and the freedom and the life and the peace and joy and love that he gives us is only through him. It's not through other things that we try to escape in order to feel satisfied or to feel complete. He wants us to run right into his arms. So the first thing I want you to see is this, is that the gains and values you can achieve in the world are nothing in comparison to what you gain in pursuing Jesus. When you pursue Jesus, you pursue life, freedom. Look at verses 7 through 8 with me. But everything that was a gain to me, Paul said, I've considered to be a loss because of Christ. More than that, I also consider everything to be a loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things and consider them as dung, so that I may gain Christ. Think about Paul's words there. He's considered everything to be a loss, right? Through his life of faith, Paul learned that there's more to life than instant gratification. Joy doesn't come in an instant. It comes through a lifelong chase of knowing Christ. The life of chasing Christ is a life that brings us to that true joy. The life of chasing Christ is not like chasing after another kid in a kid's game, right? Christ does not run away from us, but he welcomes us to run towards him, and he stands there with open arms. While running towards him, we see the author of Hebrews in chapter 12, verses 1 through 2 say, therefore, since we have a large cloud of witnesses surrounding us, lay aside every hindrance, the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, doing what? Keeping our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfectioner, the perfecter of our faith. For the joy that lay before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul reflects back on his own life and actually says that all those things I used to chase after, apart from Christ, are dung. It's Paul's words there. It's all poop, pretty much, is what he's saying. So there you go, kids. There's poop is in the Bible. And so it is nothing but poop. Is what he's saying. It does. That's what it compares to, the prestige, the income, everything is nothing compared to the fact that he knows Jesus as his Lord, and he has the joy found in Christ. Everything else is worth nothing, he says. Paul took all of the determination, the concentration, the dedication he used in his life as a Pharisee, and he reattached it up even more when he found the ultimate purpose of his life. Once he knew of the joy that's found in Jesus, Paul pursued his faith in an all-out chase at, because he realized that those moments of thrill couldn't compare to the joy that comes from knowing Christ more and more and more. Because again, he says, more than that, I consider everything to be at loss just in the view of the value of just knowing who Jesus is. Just the importance of that, of knowing who Jesus is, the real Jesus, the Savior, the Lord. In knowing those things, Paul says, that is more valuable than what this world has to offer. This moment of knowing Christ and making him known to others, Paul kept making sure and chasing after the lost, pursuing Jesus every day, even on the many days when he was mocked, beaten, or imprisoned. What did Paul do? He made most of Jesus. He pursued Jesus in the prison so that those outside the prison would know. He shared Jesus with the guards of the prison. The second thing I want you to see, not only do the gains and values you can achieve in this world, they don't compare to Christ. But second, in pursuing Jesus, we learn of our identity and purpose in life. See, Paul is no longer chasing after the prestige through his works. He's not striving to earn God's favor as he thought he was doing as a Pharisee. To become the greatest or best religious leader is of no concern of Paul these days. All Paul desires is to be in a growing relationship with Jesus. And I think if I was to ask most believers, like, yeah, we desire to be in a growing relationship with Jesus. Because Paul says Paul was not at the level of relationship with Jesus that he was content with. He wanted continually to get closer and to the Lord. He was never satisfied. He never reached the moment where I have arrived on this earth. My relationship with Jesus is perfect. No, he continually wanted to pursue him. to know him, to experience the power of living victorious over death and sin, to live a life looking forward to what comes after death, eternity with Jesus. Paul is all about Jesus. Look at verses 9 through 11 with me. It said, Paul wanted to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own from the law, because that's what the Pharisees decided and wanted to do. They thought righteousness was come through how good you could be, how you could keep the law. Paul says, not a righteousness of my own, but one that is through faith. And who is it in? Christ. The righteousness from God based on faith. My goal is to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Paul says, I want everything Christ has to offer, the good, but also some of the hard stuff, the sufferings that come when you become join an allegiance with Jesus, being conformed to his death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection among the dead. Paul understood that he was to be all about Jesus. If who we are is wrapped up in our jobs or the things we have, or the moment those things are taken from us, we have nothing left to live for. If we allow material possessions to become our soul, our God, in a sense, then we have nothing to live for. It's easy to get in whatever you want these days, but if we allow material possessions to overtake us, then what good is that for us in eternity? Jesus said in Matthew 16:26, for what will it benefit someone if he gains the whole world yet loses his life? Or what will anyone give in exchange for his life? Paul didn't let his past or his present circumstances determine the nature of his pursuit. The past held many dangers for Paul. He could have remembered all the mistakes he had made, suspected that he would never be good enough or worthy enough to preach the gospel. Could you imagine the guilt he must have felt at times when seeing and knowing that he persecuted brothers and sisters in Christ, but yet he was blinded by his pursuit of the world and not of Jesus? Or he could have remembered all the respect and high standing he had among the elite of society and decided in a moment of despair that he sure would like to go back to that ladder of comfort instead of those chains for Christ. But in this passage, Paul declared that his past would not determine his pursuit. Jesus says, he shows us, it's not what you have done in the past. It's not about the mistakes you've made, the successes you've earned. Because what matters most is, what are you going to do today? Paul was worthy of chasing God because God had already chased him. See, God's already pursued us by sending Jesus to this earth to die on the cross for our sins. And we see in Scripture that the Lord, he sends a spirit to stir within our hearts. Even more, Paul learned that nothing compares to knowing Christ. Resting on the merits of what he had already done was not an option for Paul, because he was determined to chase joy by pursuing and knowing God in his fullest. His identity was in Christ now. His identity was not in his job or him as a Pharisee. His purpose was not in to pursue after Christians, but it's to pursue after Christ. Because when pursuing Jesus, this is our third point, when pursuing Jesus, the goal of life changes dramatically. Again, look at verses 12 through 14. Now that I have already reached the goal, or not that I have already reached the goal, or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I also have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul wants Christ because Christ has a hold of him. He has changed his life dramatically, inside and out. Brothers and sisters, he goes on to say, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Paul takes a hold of the promises of God. He takes a hold of what has been given to him in Christ. He takes a hold of the salvation that has been gifted to him through Jesus. And he says, my life is completely different now. Everything changes. Christ was his focus. Christ was his goal. Christ was everything to Paul. And so Paul pursues him relentlessly. Whether that is a path that led through pleasant gardens or breathtaking views through deep shadow valleys and dark or dangerous alleys, Paul says, I'm going to chase Jesus. He wasn't chasing a thrilling moment. He was chasing an epic movement of joy that was found only through Christ. And that as for Paul, that was enough. That same movement of joy, though, is for us today. The joy which surpasses all understanding. The joy that fills our hearts and minds when we go through what seems like chaos and we can rest assured that God tells me he will never leave me nor forsake me. Some of us have testimonies here of that we've gone through the trenches, it seems like, but yet God has saw us through because we allowed our circumstances not to tell us who God is in the sense of that he is mad at us or leaving us, but because he is a loving God, because he is faithful, because he has our good in mind, we can trust him through it. See, like Paul, we will ultimately find the culmination of this moment in heaven eternally. But when we decide to chase Jesus in the here and now, we will find joy on the journey. This joy will be far better than any thrill seeker moments. It will last even in the worst circumstances. This moment was worth everything Paul had. He called the Philippians to join in the pursuit of this ultimate prize of Christ. He said that when it comes to joy, we have to chase it. We have to keep pressing on. When you think about some of the toughest athletes, you know, it's not football players, it's not baseball players, it's not whatever you fill in the blank. To me, I think the toughest athletes are those who are runners. Why? They got to have a mental toughness about them. It's said that a runner, in order to go through a race, right, a runner has to follow things to be mentally tough, to overcome distractions, resilience, have to focus, strength, preparation, visions, openness, and trust. A runner chooses not to focus on things they can't control, such as the weather or the way the race is set up. It could be absolutely pouring down rain, but yet the race is still to set on. A runner chooses to be successful in the circumstances that have been given to them. They give it their all, their thoughts, their emotions, the training, the attitude. It all comes to that day of the race. When a runner loses their focus, their performance will inevitably decline as well. But if a runner can keep a sharp focus on their goal, on what's in front of them, and not looking back to see who's behind them, the things they can control, the likelihood of them finishing the race is successful. Now, when we think about running this Christian race, running this race as Christ followers, you know, we can pursue joy, and like Paul, we need to be mentally tough and avoid the distractions as we run. As you spend more time with the Lord and his word, distractions will come. Things, obstacles that you're going to have to maybe jump over, run around, in order to stay focused on Jesus, will be there. We must press on into the joy that we find in Christ. Remember where Paul wrote this from, right? He's in prison. His past is gone. Paul is writing this letter under house arrest. So instead of putting people in house arrest, he is now under house arrest. And because of the joy he has from God, he's able to look at these situations and say, God, how can you be most glorified in it? He kept his eyes on the prize. Remember, we saw this in Hebrews 12, right? That he says, we must lay aside every hindrance, keeping our eyes on Jesus. As we chase Jesus and we discover joy along the way, distractions, as I said, they will try to overwhelm us. We will live an imperfect and at times challenging in a challenging world. And therefore, when we have moments of pain, confusion, frustration, when nothing seems to be going right, we must still keep our eyes on Jesus. We may want to go to a worship service and seek an awesome spiritual high. We may want to walk away and live no differently than the rest of the thrill-seeking world. But we need to remember that Jesus is not a momentary thrill. He isn't a fashion trend or the best way to get excited about the things that you want to pursue for yourself. If you're going to pursue Jesus, it must be all about Jesus and for Jesus. He is worth the time and the effort it takes to go through, to follow in those hard days. If we're chasing Jesus, we'll find that when we face moments of these frustrations, that they don't define the race, but they are obstacles that strengthen us, that help us, that grow our faith, that help us to pursue the Lord each and every day. So, how do we fight through these distractions like a runner? Our last point is this: in pursuing Jesus, we must look forward to the hope to come. Forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. Paul says, "I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus." We look forward to the day Jesus returns. Even though we don't deserve God's love and grace, he sent Jesus down from heaven to pay the debt that we couldn't afford. Jesus came to live that perfect and sinless life so that we could have a relationship, so that we could experience joy now and not have to wait till heaven. Jesus was sent so that he could die on the cross and take that punishment for us. And yet 3 days later, when he rose from the grave, sin and death is defeated. Because of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, the powers of sin over you are no more. You can choose to turn from sin. You can choose to not accept the things of this world. All we have to do now is to ask God for forgiveness, to turn from our sins, to put our faith and trust in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. We desperately need him. We must commit to chasing after him with our whole being, not just for a Sunday fix, but for a 24/7 lifestyle of following and pursuing Jesus. This is how we gain access to this joy that we've been talking about, by completely surrendering our lives to him. When we realize that Jesus suffered the worst punishment of all, separation from God, so that we could be completely restored and forgiven, we begin to experience the joy that Paul has been experiencing while in prison. When we put our faith in Jesus and we commit to pursuing him, our life and our purpose in life changes completely. We discover that knowing him is a real prize and joy of this life, because pursuing Jesus leads to a joy-filled life, despite of the circumstances that come along with it. As we pursue Jesus, remember, distractions will come. Our past will try to hold us back. Our environment, our circumstances may create moments where we may stumble and fall. But in Christ, we can get up every time we fall and keep running, because we direct our eyes on the Lord. We can refocus when we get distracted. We can keep pressing on because we have the power of Christ in us, because he holds us throughout our chase. Joy really is possible for us when we join the life of pursuing Christ in a community of believers, not doing it by ourselves, but encouraging, equipping one another. Remember, I asked you earlier, did anyone ever ask to mentor you or disciple you in the ways of the Lord as a young Christian? You see, that's part of the joy, is walking with others and helping them, discipling them in their walk with Christ. You see, the prize is real and is waiting if we choose to chase after the Lord. Not to be held back by our past, we must run. Not pulled down by the present, we must run. Not overwhelmed by our future, but to run. We are loved by Christ, so we run. We are strengthened by Christ, so we continue to run. We are held by Christ, so we run focused on Him, focused on the prize, because the journey set before us, it may be long, it may be hard, but He is with us every step of the way. So let's chase after the joy that we have in Christ together. If you're here this morning, if you never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you this morning to pursue Jesus. In a moment, as we have our time of invitation, and the piano is playing, we're singing our last song, that's the moment that you can decide to pursue Jesus. I would love to introduce you to Him and show you that there is no greater joy than that of following Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this time together. Lord, we love You. And Lord, we so easily can get wrapped up in our life of chasing after the things of this world that so easily distract us. Lord, I pray that we would pursue You wholeheartedly this week. May we take it a day at a time. And Lord, help us to lay aside anything that entangles us, that keeps us from running to You. We pray that You are glorified in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Brother Mike.
I have decided to follow Jesus. Just want to reemphasize on the Priscilla Shire simulcast, there is a sign-up sheet. There is no cost. It's just we need to know how many are coming to know how much food to have, who to feed. And it'll be in the ministry center. Next Sunday will be the last Sunday to sign up so we can make preparation.
Just a few announcements. One is one announcement, and this right here could be the reason we have our WANA program here and how it works and what the work that we do with the kids that's here in the church. But from Linda Smith here, you got a thank you to all who volunteered. And we need a lead cook. We have a lead cook that can cook most weeks, but we need somebody that can substitute. We need one more person to rotate the TNT class. We need help filling to-go boxes for the shut-ins. We need someone to do paperwork from 5:45 to 6:15. We need one more helper with the cubbies, and we need prayer partners, and you can pick up brochures here at the exit. And there's a sign-up sheet by the bulletin board, or you can see Pastor Jim or Joanne Kohler or Linda Smith, if you'd like to help us with that. And it's a wonderful program. It's a blessing to serve. I've been doing a small part of it, but it is a blessing to serve with those kids. The other things that we have Deacon's meeting today at 4 o'clock. We have Prime Timers potluck. A few women, you know what you're supposed to bring. So we'll have that at 12 o'clock on Tuesday. Also, August the 17th from 2 to 4, it's a drop-in baby shower for Karen Purdom, so keep that on your calendars. Word of praise, it was good to see Ken Tatum and Diane here this morning for Sunday school, so that's a praise that we've been praying for those that are sick and can't be with us and stuff. So the Lord is working with us. So in that, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the blessings you've given us, for the opportunity to come in your house. We just pray, Father, and thank you for the love, grace, and mercy that you show us daily. And I ask, Father, that we just pray for each other this week and we take every opportunity to spread the gospel. And I ask, dear Lord, that you just please forgive us if we fall short in serving you. In Jesus' name, amen.